You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
Love God, love people. Pretty simple. As we take a look at how God speaks to us today. And today, as we take a look at what God says to us, we've been going through this series in 1 John, and today we continue with John chapter 4 as he says to us, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." So, all right, so we heard the song, we've heard the text, I even said it. Can anyone guess what the theme of our time together today is? It's one four-letter word, right? Love. Right? Love. And interestingly, though, as I was reading through these texts, whoever loves God has been born of God and knows God. And as I was reading that, it sounds a little bit like works righteousness. Like, as long as I love God, then I'll be born of God and know God. And there's this really big need to dive into the context of 1 John. But the problem is that's going to take a lot of time and a lot of fleshing out. So what I'm going to encourage you to do, Bibles and Brews, May 14th at 5:05 at the 5:05 Brewery, we're going to dive into this context and see who John is talking to and why it might sound a little like works righteousness here. But to jump to the end of that conversation, John is not saying that loving God is what gets us into the family. But again, but what John is saying is that what makes us different than the rest of the world is love. And so maybe you've heard the song, "They Will Know That We Are Christians by Our Love," right? And so that's what John is saying, that beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. And the way that people will know that we're different is whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. Not only does God love, but God is love, right? It is who He is. As I over the years have done a lot of weddings, one of the most chosen set of verses talks about what love is, right? Love is patient, love is kind, and it goes through this list of what love is. And then at the very end of that, we read, "Faith, hope, and love remain, these three, but the greatest of these is love." And it's not that because right now love is more important than faith and hope, but it's because love is the only one that will remain forever. When Jesus returns to raise up all those who have faith in Him to new life, there will be no more need for faith because we will see Jesus face to face in the new kingdom. There will be no more need for hope because what we've been hoping for is the return of Jesus. And when that happens, there's no more need to hope for that. But love remains because God is love. And it is He who remains for all eternity, with all of those who are gathered with Him, all those who have faith in Him. And so as we look forward to that day when we will spend eternity with the God who is love, the question today, one of the first questions I want to look at is, well, what does that love of God look like for us today? John continues then, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. It came to dwell among us, that God has sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Now this word at the end of this big old word, propitiation, this is the second time that it's come up in this 1 John epistle. And the first time it came up, I was preaching, and I just skipped right over it, hoping that Vicar Rathke would preach on it the next time it came up. But that didn't work out. So I guess I'll talk about propitiation a little bit. What we know is that God is a just God, right? He is a fair God, and He is a God who hates sin. And so when he forgives our sins, he can't just forget them. Otherwise, that would be unfair. That would be unjust. Someone had to take the punishment for our sins. And so what it means that Jesus is the propitiation of our sins, is it means that Jesus satisfies God's wrath against sin. The wrath of God that was meant for you and me, the sinners, was poured out on Jesus instead. He was the propitiation for our sins, right? That's love. That's the love of God, and God is love. It is who he is. So then, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. As we look at God's love for us, God's love for you through Jesus, the only response as God's people then is to love one another. Right? If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That if at the front of that verse is not really a, well, if it happens, it's a since. Since God so loved us, since God so loved you and me, we also ought to love one another. And this love is a non-transactional love. So what do I mean by that? As I've been preparing for my sabbatical, as I've been working with a coach to help me understand my rhythms and understand my tendencies, as I've been preparing to start meeting with a counselor to help to prepare me for that sabbatical, I've been really reflecting on why I do things, why I do what I do, considering those tendencies, considering those rhythms. And what I've recognized is way too often my love is transactional. My love is a so that kind of love. Like, there are times where I will play with my kids at home so that I can justify my alone time later at night, or play with my kids so that I can look at me. Look at what a great dad I am, right? That's a so that kind of love. Or there are times where I'll do the dishes or clean up or go the extra mile or even start folding the laundry before Stacy gets down. I did that last night. but I do that so that, too often I do that so that I can get some extra brownie points. Right? That's a transactional kind of love. Or I'll go the extra mile here, whether it's at the church or the school or the early childhood center, so that I can earn a sabbatical, or so that I can earn your love or your acknowledgement or your recognition. Right? That's what a transactional love looks like. And I can almost guarantee, as you think back in your life, you can find at least one time, if not a few more, times where your love has been transactional, where you've loved someone so that you could get something in return. But God doesn't love so that, right? God is love. It's who he is. And God loves so then, right? So then let us love one another. Beloved, since God has loved us in such a way, so then let us love one another. Right? And that love is in big ways, and that love is in small ways all around us. Right? It looks like Deb and Roy, who every Saturday night come into church and prepare coffee so that all Vicar Rathke and I have to do is plug it in on Sunday morning so that it's ready for you. That love looks like Bev then staying after church when no one else is around and cleaning it up so that it's ready for next week. It looks like Rick and Kevin and the 6 p.m. crew of ushers that make sure that when you come in on Sunday morning, the lights are on and you have bulletins and you're ready to go and ready to worship throughout the morning. It looks like Linda and the crew preparing the altar, changing the paraments, these things on the front of the altar that are different colors throughout different seasons. It'll be red next week for confirmation, and then back to white for the rest of the Easter season, and then red for Pentecost, and then green for the season after Pentecost. It's also they prepare the altar with the bread and wine, so that as you come to receive that very body and blood of Jesus, that you might receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. It looks like one of our elders, Dan, every Wednesday, going to the hospital to visit any members who are in the hospital to pray with them and to read God's word, help them point, to help point their, or to help them fix their eyes on Jesus as the ultimate healer. It looks like Ellen, who would pick Dorothy up on Saturday nights to bring her into worship because she couldn't get here herself until then. Ellen went to be with Jesus and worship him in a very different way. It looks like Chris, who knows my favorite snack and my coffee order and seems to know exactly when I need one or both of those. Also, as she prepares the Saturday night service to be ready to be played on the radio on Sunday mornings and prepares this sermon to go on the podcast every Monday morning. It looks like the Comfort Dog team just doing what they do daily, whether it's being out in front of the school welcoming students in the morning or going and visiting those who are homebound or in the hospitals or in the care centers, but also then going on deployment and filling those big needs, right? When big emergencies happening, when big hurts are happening, to be able to bring that comfort by pointing them to the one who brings ultimate comfort. It looks like Stacy building a community of women together to help mentor others so that they can grow in knowing how best to live and to care for their families and to care for themselves as well. Looks like Jim being able to save a life by giving CPR in the middle of his workout, being able to jump out and give CPR to take care of that individual. And I bet we could spend hours listing off the number of ways that you have seen love, whether it's here in this place or out in this community. And that's good. But as we think of this, right, so then, if God has loved us, since God has loved us, since God has loved you and me, the question is then, how will you love one another? How will you love one another since God since Jesus has taken his wrath, God's wrath on himself rather than on you, since God has loved you in such an incredible way, how will you love one another? And this is not just a rhetorical question that you say, okay, Pastor, I'll think about it and go on with the rest of your week. We're going to take some time. In front of you this morning, there are these notepads, either yellow or blue. I think most of them in there are blue still or yellow still. Grab one of these. Everyone, I want every one of you to take one of these pieces of paper and write, and you're going to take a moment. I'm going to give you some time, and I want you to think about how can I love someone, and be specific about it. If you need to know my coffee order, I can tell you later. No, be specific about how you can love someone. Yes, there will be multiple times where that love can spontaneous flow through us, but there's also opportunities to think ahead and to plan how we can love one another. So I'm going to be quiet for about a minute and give you an opportunity to think and write, how will I love someone this week? Beloved, since God has loved us in such a great way, since God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to take God's wrath upon himself rather than taking it out on you and I who deserve it, since God has loved us in such a great way, we ought to love one another. And so as you're writing that down, maybe you still need a little bit more time to think or write it down. But what I want you to do today on the way out of worship, I want you to put that in the offering basket today. It'll be out in the fellowship hall on the way out. I want you to put that piece of paper in there as we consider how we might love one another, because that is an act of offering to our God. As Paul concludes this little section, he says that no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us, right? No one has ever seen God. But what John is saying is that as you love one another, God abides in you and they see God through you. Stacy and I were having a conversation yesterday or the day before about a pastor's wives conference that she went to a couple years ago, and as she was the speaker talked to them one day about the night before she had gone to the front desk of the hotel and was talking with the hotel that worker, and on, was it on her notebook or on her water bottle? On her water bottle was a sticker that says, "You are fearfully and wonderfully made." And the guy saw that and said, "Ooh, that's nice," thinking maybe it was some sort of self-affirmation that if she just kind of reminded herself over and over again that would help lift her spirits. And in during that conversation, the lady told him, "No, this is for you too. Because God has created you special. God has created you, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made." And throughout that conversation, the hotel worker started to get tears in his eyes, because he said no one had ever told him that. In that moment, he saw Jesus because of a very simple conversation that she was able to have with him as she loved him in a very unique way. Beloved, since God has loved you in such an incredible way, we have to love one another. And so today, or this week as you go, may you go and love one another, that through that love, your family, your community, your coworkers, your neighbors, the person that you come across randomly, that they might see God. Beloved, since God has loved us in such a great way, let us love one another. Amen. Amen.